This is high energy.
Yeah, high energy. This is what I'm talking about. This is episode 72 of the Big Planet Comics podcast.
Bam.
Boom. Hello, everybody. It's Wednesday. We're doing this in a day early because of Valentine's Day.
We're like, what's the most romantic thing we could give our listeners? A new podcast.
A new podcast. So this one's for the ladies or the fellas.
Or the fellas and the ladies.
Or anybody else. Yeah, so my name is Kevin.
I'm the weasel.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
I'm really Nick.
Yeah, that's really Nick.
And I'm still really Jared.
Jared the Shark. Yeah, indeed. So this is this is episode 72. As always, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Check us out on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter.
Yep.
Jared, you said we got a tweet from Will Morris, the guy that did Silver Darlings, right?
Yes. We reviewed his excellent graphic novel, his debut graphic novel. It's kind of terrifying.
Yeah.
Silver Darlings, and he tweeted us and he's like, thanks for the review, and it's very surreal to be reviewed by somewhere as far away as DC.
I'm going crazy with these sound effects
right now. He's from England, so I think that's appropriate.
Well, thank you, Will.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Keep making good books.
Yeah, keep making good books. You made one.
One down.
You probably made other ones too, but he definitely made that one.
That was like his debut from a publisher, I think.
And thanks also to Matt and Eli, two guys that gave us 5-star reviews on iTunes.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. So
with a nice little write up too.
Yeah, with some write ups. We should have read those. We'll do that some other time. But yeah. Yeah, so thanks for that. If we like to get reviews, it makes us feel famous. So you guys should keep doing that.
Yeah, just go on that iTunes and click 5 stars. The other ones, the other buttons don't work.
Just the five stars.
And then say why we're awesome.
It's a glitch, but just go with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what have you guys been doing?
All right. No, I got one. I went to this crazy thing called The Mansion on O Street, which is a series of 4 or 5 townhouses that have been connected by a series of secret passages and turned into like a weird rock star hotel museum thing.
Yeah, I saw that on a PBS special.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's been, the woman bought the houses in 1980, so yeah. It's been 34 years in D.C. and I've never heard of it. And it's got like secret passages?
Yeah, I forget. There's somebody...
It's like 2 blocks from DuPont Circle.
What does it do?
There's
you can go on treasure hunts. You can scavenger hunt type stuff.
Can you
Everything...
Breakfast?
You can eat breakfast and brunch. Everything in the museum except for a signed guitar is for sale.
Who's it signed by?
The one I saw, there's literally guitars in every room.
There's some rock star that hangs out there like all the time. I forget who it was. I remember they were saying like whatever special I
forget who it was. Rosa Parks used to live there.
Wait, yeah. She used to live in the mansion?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Weird.
Yeah, but like there were guitars signed by U2.
YouTube?
YouTubes.
I'm going wild.
I'm a wild.
But yeah, there's at least 32 secret doors in this place. We found 15.
That is a lot of doors.
How do you know about them if they're secret?
Oh, so is that like one of the things you do? You're like, check out these doors.
Yeah. No, like literally there are things that say, please don't open this. It's not a secret door. It's just a mirror on the wall. Don't break it.
People trying to pull mirrors off the
wall. We were talking to the guy. They said like they've broken like fireplaces because they're trying to like pull the mantle off. He's like, there are no things in the fireplaces. There should be, though.
I haven't done anything like that. What have you been doing, Nick? Anything exciting? How many doors are there in your house?
I made a bunch of secret passages.
Yeah!
Just with, like, a hammer?
Yeah.
One of the rooms was a log cabin.
An elaborate maze that only has dead ends.
I made a terrible labyrinth at my house that had a lot of exits. Windows, too.
But that's because you're a serial killer.
No, there are exits.
Did you
everywhere.
Guys hear about that old-timey serial killer that had he bought like a hotel and converted it into like a death trap? He had like
the
a
devil.
Are you
in
talking
the white
about?
City?
Are you talking about H.H. Holmes, America's first serial
is
killer?
Is that his name?
That has a comic book written about.
Yeah, I think he was
Jack the Ripper.
Let's talk about this, you guys. He had like a dungeon in his house, and he had like trap doors with slides that would send people down to the dungeons.
Yeah, it was crazy.
He was at the World's Fair
in Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah. In like the early 1900s. Yeah.
May or may not have been Jack the Ripper.
It was definitely not Jack the Ripper. You have been watching too much television shows. Yeah. But
yeah, a really good book called Devil in the White City was written about him and the World's Fair, and also him. H.H. Holmes himself had a comic book by Rick Geary in his series of Treasury of Victorian Murder. about him. So
yeah, hit us up on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter, HH Holmes.
Yeah.
That book is great. It's written by a guy named Eric Larson, who is not the same guy that writes Savage Dragon.
Oh, it's been like the smallest world ever.
Indeed.
Side project.
Well, yeah. So Nick, have you been doing anything then?
No.
Yeah, me neither. I mean, I had a really interesting conversation about HH Holmes, America's First Serial Killer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the most interesting thing that happened to me this week.
Oh, I was also deathly ill. That was fun.
Oh yeah. I worked an extra day because Jared was sick. Yeah.
This is a morbid podcast going on right now.
That's what we do.
I saw a dead body the other day.
The morbidity.
Did
you want to see it?
No. The morbidity is moribund.
It's true.
Is that the right use of that word? Moribund? Doesn't that mean a lot?
Ooh,
a lot of buns.
A lot of bun cakes.
Yeah, let's just do news. You guys want to do some news?
Yes, please.
Yeah, let's do it.
This just in, serial killer HH Holmes is captured.
Hooray! I feel safe and prepared already.
But seriously, though.
What's the other news?
First of all, little piece of news we got is that Seconds from Brian Lee O'Malley has been delayed.
What is Seconds?
2014.
Seconds is his new graphic novel. It's about a restaurant. Brian Lee O'Malley, of course, does Scott Pilgrim.
And?
Lost at Sea.
And a cover to Young Avengers.
Yeah, Young Avengers. And a Battle Royale poster just recently. That was pretty cool.
That was really cool.
But yeah, I guess he hurt his, I think he injured his shoulder.
Yeah. Oh.
And so things got delayed. He's got Nate Simpson disease. And
was it from all his polo games?
It was from fighting evil ninjas? Ex-boyfriends.
Oh.
That's the stupidest joke I've ever made.
It's from diving into his pile of gold.
Yeah. It is. So that's unfortunate, but you know, it's still gonna come out.
It's still gonna come out.
Just keep talking, you guys.
It was supposed to be coming out this year, and just they pushed it back a whole year.
Yeah.
When was the original release date?
Oh, I don't know. Soon-ish? It was 2013.
Okay, so it could have been like December to January. So this is all a month.
Oh, moribund means at the point of death, you guys. So
zing.
This podcast is also moribund.
There we go.
All right. Next up, what do we got? We got Green Lantern.
Yeah,
that's it.
Green Lantern 2.
Jeff Johns is leaving Green Lantern.
Green Lantern 2 Electric Boogaloo would work.
And everybody else is also leaving all the other Green Lantern.
Yeah, or
in
least,
protest.
At least, so we were talking about this today.
Or like jumping off a ship.
No,
like
they're
a
just
bunch
done.
Of rats.
Yeah, so Peter Tomasi is leaving Green Lantern Corps. Jeff Johns is leaving Green Lantern. He's been writing for 9 years, since 2004.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
he's the only reason there are multiple Green Lantern books.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
That's definitely true.
And then the other people that write the other Green Lantern books are also leaving.
Yeah, it's pretty insane.
I predict, though, that maybe Peter Tomasi is going to get moved up to the main book.
Maybe.
We'll see, though.
But I feel like it's about time. I feel like
ready for some new blood.
He's kind of, he's kind of run his course. It's all been great, you know, but like I feel like the last few years it's kind of been too much.
Yeah, I feel like Blackest Night was maybe a good stopping point.
Yeah. But they didn't stop at Blackest Night.
Yeah.
Curious to see who's going to take over.
Yeah. Hopefully somebody interesting. Like, I'd like to see Scott Snyder or Jeff Lemire, one of those guys.
It'll probably be one of those guys.
Am I trumping your thunder by saying, didn't they just hire someone from a different book to get on a DC book?
Next thing in the news. Suicide Squad is going to be now written by Alex Cott, who writes his Changes.
There you go.
Changes.
I'm thinking about David Bowie.
David Bowie's going to be writing Suicide Squad.
But if you ever
that would be brilliant. Seriously.
It would just be about spiders and stuff.
I'd read it.
But he's taking over Suicide Squad. If you haven't read Change, it's like the craziest book that doesn't make any sense, but is great.
Yeah.
It's probably a good choice for Suicide
Squad.
It
makes sense. It's got its own logic.
Sort of.
Yeah. But
sort of.
So who's writing Suicide Squad now?
Someone.
Did they put Justin Jordan on that book?
No. Nope. It's like
Adam Glass?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. He's been writing it since the beginning.
Think so.
Yeah. So that's interesting. It's good to see them. I mean, I don't know if Alex Cott's a young guy, but DC can use at least a new guy. Yeah, a new guy, some new blood. So that's good.
DC News Explosion. Here's another one. DC announced two new books, The Green Team and The Movement. The Green Team is labeled as the 1%, and The Movement is labeled as the 99%.
What? Yeah, so I saw this. I thought this was one book called The Green Team and The Movement.
No, it's two different books. And so The Green Team... This is pretty crazy.
The Green Team is the 1%?
Yeah.
Because they got all the green, man.
Yeah. So they're not like the environmentalist eco-terrorists.
No, it's like an old comic from the 70s or
like
60s.
The Scrooge
right?
McDuck team.
But here's the thing. The writers for it are pretty interesting.
Is it Trump?
You'll never guess who the writer
Donald
is.
Donald Trump.
Tom DeFalco and Howard Mackey.
The Green Team is written by Art Baltazar and Franco with art by Iguera. Wasn't that insane?
Wait, who's Iguera?
Yeah.
He's done something amazing that I can't remember.
But so it's them doing a not kids book, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah. And they're writing The Green Team, which is about like superheroes buying powers, basically like rich people getting like, superpowers. Huh. And the movement's about kind of it's kind of vague
it's
at the point.
About the Occupy movement?
it's about like shady corporations and superheroes not being able to fight that. I don't know.
The Boys.
It's very vague at this point. But that one's written by Gail Simone and drawn by Freddie Williams II.
That's good, actually. Like, I mean, after the whole Batgirl thing, I mean, I know she got hired back, right. but, you know, Gail Simone was fired from Batgirl, and then Ray Fox took over, and now Gail Simone's back on already. Right. But I was worried that she wasn't going to be really doing much at DC anymore. So that's good to see she's got another book. And then after the cancellation of Superman Family Adventures, I was also a little worried about Art and Franco.
It's
and,
weird that they're writing a kid's book. I don't.
Yeah, but
it's
you know,
not something I've seen.
Yeah, but you know, I'm curious about it.
Like we said last week, they've got their own kids' book, so they might.
Yeah, these sound fine. Look, doing the basic setup of these sounds a little gimmicky, just the 99% 1% thing. But
and like all DC things, it sounds very like you know,
cutting edge.
2 years too late.
But yeah, it sounds interesting at least. Another thing is that the Harry Potter covers for the new editions of it are going to be drawn by Kazuo Kobayashi, which is insane.
Yeah, that's awesome. So he does Amulet and Copper and stuff in Flight.
And edited all the Flight stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And some of these have posted it online, and they're really
they're awesome. Hey, I always thought the Harry Potter covers were not maybe the best.
Not great, yeah. No. And then the last big piece of news is that Don Rosa is retiring from comics.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
So Don Rosa is, for everyone who doesn't know, which sadly is a lot of people, it's kind of the accepted successor in a lot of ways to Carl Barks, who a lot of people don't know who is the guy who basically invented all of the Donald Duck supporting cast and is like the great establisher of the Donald Duck mythos of comics and is amazing, amazing.
Yeah, and I think Don Rosa's big work would be The Life and Times of Scrooge McDuck, where he took a lot of Carl Barks' stories and kind of formed them into one narrative that told the story of Scrooge McDuck's entire life.
Yeah,
And it's amazing. And he continues to be the most popular living Donald Duck / Uncle Scrooge duck cartoonist, so to speak. Especially in Europe, he's immensely popular
Stan
over there.
Is Dan still alive?
Yeah, him too. So there are
Does
others
Don Rosa
who are
still do stuff?
Yeah.
For like the European Disney stuff?
Yeah. That's the scary thing, is he's still pumping stuff out over there that you just don't
just,
see over here.
Yeah, yeah. There are no duck books coming out over here.
That's true. Like literally he'll write stuff in English, it'll be translated in like Swedish or something and never be published in English.
Wow, that's crazy.
He's a nice guy too.
Yeah,
I met him at a convention.
Baltimore?
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, "Hey, can you draw me a Scrooge McDuck?" He's like, "Yeah. How do you want him?" I was like, "Just make him mad." And he was like, "Cool. That's not what usually people ask for."
That's awesome. Good choice. But yeah, so apparently he's wanted to have like some book of his, you know, some of his work published, and he wanted to do like a final chapter of it about like his kind of maybe not even a chapter, but like an epilogue of just like saying, "Hey, thanks. Here's my goodbye note." But a lot of it was, it got published online because Disney said no. And it's pretty obvious why. It's basically him being like, you know, I'd go overseas and all these people would think I'm a millionaire. And let me explain that you don't get credits on a lot of these books. There are no royalties. So if something gets published in 18 different languages, I don't get any extra money from it. And literally places were publishing Don Rosa books without my permission. Like they would, it wouldn't just be like, here's a great Donald Duck collection. It'd be the Don Rosa Donald Duck collection without my permission to use my name. So that's I had to copyright my name and then sue them to not do it. So then they just started doing Donald Duck collection and all the stuff in it would be my work, but they wouldn't use my name on any of it. And so, yeah, it was a kind of, and then at the end of it, he's like, this is what got me though. He's like, people are like, a lot of publishers would be actually said like, we just were waiting for you to say, we'll pay you royalties to do it and finish or whatever. And here you go. And so, of course, just being company, they just had waited for it. His final thing was that people said, we will publish anything you want to write or draw. So why don't you do your own character? And he said, I didn't want to because I grew up with these ducks and I love them.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It's kind of sad.
Right. That's the thing.
It is sad.
It's touching, but that's the thing about comic books is people love characters they grew up with and they want to work with them, but that's
it's weird
sad
too. I mean, because you're working on a, you know, you're
a
working
corporate
on
property.
Yeah,
and
you're obviously doing work for hire when you're doing that. So it's a weird thing. It's always a weird thing. But
yeah, so that was really touching, and then that final part made me really sad.
Yeah. Well, so that's it for Don Rosa, I guess. He'll probably still do appearances.
And that's it for the news.
That is it for the news. Yeah.
Oof.
Ending on a happy note.
Yeah, ending on a happy note.
So many good things we're talking about.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do some mail. We got some questions today.
Yeah.
Here we go. All right, we got a bunch of questions. I don't know that we're going to be able to answer all these. I think Nick will probably be able to answer a lot of these.
Wait. Hit me. Should we hit up more people to hit us with questions?
Yeah, if you guys got... Well, we're going to do that at the end.
Oh,
usually,
man.
But if you guys got questions, listen to the end because we're going to tell you where to send them.
go.
So I got a bunch of questions from Aaron. I believe Aaron Amos. He's
Aaron
like
with an A?
Yep, Aaron with an A.
He threatened to send us a bazillion questions, or 40, I believe is what he said.
Well, he said 10, so here we go. Question number one.
All right, here we go.
With all of the time travel introduced in all new X-Men, do you think Professor X will be reintroduced into the Marvel Universe?
No. I mean, eventually.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that they did the jump
not
back
any
in time and didn't get him.
I feel like the whole thing is that he's definitely gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eventually, I'm sure he'll be back. I mean,
they did
it's
some
comics.
They did some good stuff with his...
His
legacy.
His brain.
Oh, his brain. Fine. Spoil it. Yes.
It doesn't spoil it too much, unless you say it's a spoiler and then people know.
Spoiler if you haven't read Uncanny X-Men, Uncanny Avengers number one, which came out like 5 months ago.
If you haven't, just go back and then skip ahead. Yeah. All right. Question number two. Since Marvel and DC have so many books that are connected through characters, how much of an impact do you think maintaining continuity has on proposed storyline? Well, it goes in different ways. So, with Marvel, I think it seems they have these writers retreat things.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. Marvel seems to have worked it out better than DC in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but you know, if you listen to this podcast, you know we're probably going to say that anyway. But so they get everybody together and they kind of come up with their big storylines for the next year, and they figure out how to incorporate all the characters into it and stuff like that. You know, and they kind of have a pattern going where they're like, we're going to have a big event, and then we're going to have the fallout from that event is really going to be the thing that affects the books the most. Like, you know, whether it's Civil War happens. And then after Civil War, there's all the registration stuff, the initiative, right. Or like, you know, just recently, Avengers vs. X-Men happened, and that kind of led into like the relaunch of a lot of these books and stuff like that. And then DC recently, I mean, they've had a lot of crossovers.
Editorial conflicts.
Yeah, where maybe they, like, before... It seems like they have more crossovers now than they did before the relaunch.
No, they definitely did. Yeah. They do now.
It seems like, in every issue, it's like, in this issue, Wonder Woman, in this issue, Flash.
So stuff like The Rot happened, and I feel like, you know, Snyder and Lemire were definitely all on the same page with that. And then...
Well, I think that's the thing that's interesting about the new DC format is they specifically kind of branded all their books into about five categories, which we talked about when they relaunched all their stuff.
It was like the Edge line.
Edge, which is kind of like this weird Vertigo-ish stuff. The Dark, which is kind of the... bad guy side almost and more the supernatural and then they've got like the Green Lantern section and then like the Justice League section and then what are the other there are like two
Batman.
One or two other.
Yeah,
the Batman family obviously
the, yeah
so I think they just naturally grouped books together and made sure that some smaller books like Flash or whatever had supporting books that could work together well and
the
so they've done a lot of crossovers with those
that with the Marvel books most of the time it seems kind of natural. Whereas in the DC book, sometimes it feels a little forced. Like Flash is showing up in Dial H in a few issues, and I'm like, what?
Justice League Dark as well. The Flash is going
to
be.
Yeah, and I was
well.
Like, why does the Flash need to be in Dial H?
But like, I feel like their bigger crossover is like Throne of Atlantis Rot and like the Wrath of Green Lantern stuff. That stuff is all pretty well orchestrated.
But like the Green Lantern books have their crossover. The Animated Swamp Thing books have their crossover. Justice League. And,
it's crazy that the stuff in Green Lantern. Doesn't affect any of the other books, especially since like the Green Lantern stuff is like huge. Yeah.
Now here's an example of a negative of all this stuff though is like when they relaunched Superman, it's so confusing. But basically, Grant Morrison was writing Action Comics, which took place 7 years before the stuff that was going on in Superman, and the continuity that Grant Morrison was setting up in Superman. George Perez, the writer of, I'm getting this mixed up. So Grant Morrison was setting up stuff in Action Comics, and George Perez, the writer of Superman, didn't know what he was doing.
Right.
And so he was having to change stories on the fly, and it ended up being a real
messing
big problem.
Up his stories, yeah.
And it messed up his stories, and then he ended up leaving DC because of it.
I think the communication stuff is probably the most important.
Yeah. So it has a lot of impact. It's probably the answer.
All that might be fixed. Because Grant Morrison's Superman story involves a lot of time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are workarounds, luckily.
Which makes it
books.
Even worse, because, you're like, wait, how's this going to end?
So we've got a couple verses questions as well. These are still all from Aaron. He has a million questions. So
I believe it's
or 10. Yeah. Batwoman or Batgirl, who wins? I'm going by sales figures. I'm saying Batwoman. I'm going by quality of the book. I'm also saying Batwoman.
I'm gonna go Batgirl because she's been trained by a League of Assassins.
But you're thinking of the one that's not Batgirl anymore.
I didn't see what time frame this was.
Well, Jared's talking about Cassandra Cain.
Yeah, man.
Oh wow.
I assume.
I am.
Yeah.
Well done.
Cool.
Yeah. I'll say Batwoman because Batgirl's in a wheelchair. I'm picking it from the time period. Which
she did some PT. She's fine. All right. Next question. Batwoman or insert Robin here.
Stephanie Brown.
Spoiler
alert.
Yeah. Who wins? So I guess Batwoman versus any Robin.
Damian wins. Hands down.
Yeah. Damian would
insert Robin here, a thing that you would never hear Batwoman say. I think Damian.
You look sexy in that outfit, Robin.
unless it was Dark Knight Returns. True. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. There's a lot of them. I think I don't want to think about Dick Grayson just beating the crap out of Batwoman.
Yeah, or Batwoman beating up Damian.
yeah, he's like a little kid. He's like 10 or something.
I think she'd try and Damian would win.
Yeah, probably. He'd probably kill her.
His feet don't even reach the pedals in the Batmobile.
That's true.
All right, so this question is actually going to be hard to answer, but this is, in terms of sales, what's the line that a book does not want to dip below? 20,000, 10,000, et cetera. I think it's
usually
depends.
Around 20,000, I think.
For the two major publishers.
Yeah, it's hard to tell because they're very cagey about their numbers, but estimates, 20 is probably a good shot. On the other hand, if it was from Image, that's a huge success.
Right.
So it just depends on what they're trying to do.
Yeah, or even a smaller book like Rassel, would be happy to do 10,000.
Rassel would be doing amazing.
But then sometimes things will happen it was very obvious that Marvel was really behind Agents of Atlas when that book was coming out, and the sales numbers were constantly terrible.
Yep, right.
But they would keep the book going. You know, they would do whatever they could because they wanted it to be good, and it was a good book. But I think 20,000 is a fairish number.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Question number six. There's only about 200,000 core comics readers in the U.S.
That's
so
insane.
They all shop here, which is nice. Question number six. In Teen Titans, what happened to Skidder?
Don't know.
I don't know.
Don't get the reference.
Do you know?
Here's the real answer. Why are you reading Teen Titans? The real question.
But that might be an old thing. We don't know what Skidder is. I do love Skittles, though. Sour Skittles.
I know Skidder is one of the characters in the new Teen Titans book.
Is he the mechanic on the Dukes of Hazzard car?
No, I think that's Cooter.
That's Cooter, and I met Cooter, and he was running for running for governor.
I forgot.
I met Cooter, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Nick
and I are friends through Cooter. That's how we know each other.
How you guys met. Look at all the
Cooter's
reveals.
Hey, have you met my friend Kevin?
No, we met when Nick used to shop here.
It's true.
Yeah,
he used to
come in with Cooter every week. So sorry, we don't know the answer to that one.
Nick does, but he's not telling us.
No, I just said I don't read that, and you shouldn't read it either.
Okay, just Google it. Question seven: What old school Saturday morning cartoon would you like to see made into an ongoing book?
Gummy Bears.
His example is Thundar the Barbarian.
Gummy Bears.
Have you heard that Alicia Keys version of the Gummy Bears theme song?
What?
Because it's really good.
Considering I said Gummy Bears, I should have.
It was beautiful.
No. It was beautiful.
I would say what are they called? What's the Jack Kirby ones?
Snorks.
Thundar the Barbarian.
No, not the other ones. Herculoids?
Herculoids.
Herculoids would be rad.
Yeah, that'd be a good series. What do you say, Jared? Oh, was Gummy Bears your answer?
Yeah. That thing was epic long fantasy story. They hit syndication by building up a really long storyline.
I'm trying to think. I would, like, honestly, I'd love to see a Silverhawks comic, like, just like a kick-ass Silverhawks comic.
One, did you guys ever see Galaxy Rangers?
Yeah, sure.
That one was like way cool when I was a kid, and I actually got like the re-release as an adult. It's not way cool, but it could have been.
Wait, is Galaxy Rangers the one that has all the different pulp heroes in it?
No.
No, Galaxy Rangers is like an anime, right?
No.
I would go with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Was there a cartoon in it? Oh, no, but that's like a different thing.
It was a different cartoon with the Phantom in it, right?
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. And then question number 8. These are a lot of questions, Aaron Amos.
I saw him today. He's like, I sent you a lot of questions.
He was like, why didn't you answer my questions last week?
I think he did.
No, he told me he knew that he sent them after we recorded.
The subject line of this email was, hope this isn't too late. Well, your hopes are dashed, my friend. Question number 8. What book would you like to see made into an HBO type drama? His example, Saga.
Damn it. Just took my answer.
Wow.
I would say Scalped. Scalped would be awesome.
Scalped is the correct answer.
What do I win? Do I get a no prize?
I would also say Scalped or 100 Bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are both pretty good.
I think
100 Bullets is perfect, but Scalped is,
I think,
like...
Scalped.
I still throw a Preacher out there just to see how far it would get before people.
Yeah, or Hellblazer. Hellblazer like would be an awesome TV show.
Yeah, not as good as those other ones, though.
No.
Scalped is like the right answer.
That is the winner.
This
right
is
there.
The only opinion-based question
Saga
that has a correct
is
answer.
Impossible to make a TV show out of.
No.
It would be like the most expensive show on TV.
It would be pretty expensive. Yeah. All right, question 9. I'm not sure if I understand this one. So if you could rewrite a comic storyline, which would it be? So does that just mean like pick a storyline that already happened and like what you would do differently?
Death of Superman.
What would you do?
I mean, not have him
make it happen.
You're the guy rewriting it.
Was the problem is that like right, not right before, but they did the like when Byrne kind of wrapped up, or right before Byrne started Superman, Alan Moore wrapped it up with whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow, which is this amazing ending to Superman. So I just wish that when they had hyped up the death of Superman as something which for most outsiders who are not comic book fans was like the biggest event in comic book history, they had done it well.
Yeah, it was not good.
Like if that had been built
that issue was okay. That one single issue is all right. It's just a fight.
Yeah,
and Superman gets beat up.
I think that was my problem, that it was just a fight. Like if it had been anything else, maybe not.
He gets smashed up.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Flashpoint.
So what would you do?
I would say that at the end, the Flash actually like restores the timeline like he was supposed to.
Instead of messing up a little bit. And you would have Batman cry a lot more, right?
Yeah. And I would have like the books kind of be like they were, but like get better writers.
I'm
call it DC now.
I don't know. I don't ever think about like
DC today. Sorry,
like things that I would want to change. I know that's a thing that a lot of people are like, I wish this was this way. And this
I wish that in Kraven's Last Son, Kraven didn't kill himself.
yeah,
he
like
didn't.
Stuff. So I don't know. Well, the I would rewrite the DC relaunch.
That's what I just said. That was my answer. Flashpoint.
No, but he would have let it happen.
I would have let it happen,
and
then I would have just written it all differently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Kevin starts all the DC books.
Yeah, particularly, I would say Justice League, the relaunch of that, I thought was handled really poorly. But
successful, though.
It was successful because it's called Justice League, and it's Jim Lee. And then question number 10. This is a really long question, guys, so
ready.
Hopefully you didn't think that this was over. While at New York Comic Con last year, many attendees asked questions about diversity in comics, but the writers on tap mentioned that since most characters were created in the 40s, 50s, and 60s by white men, that it was hard to make wholesale changes.
Not true.
That's a really stupid answer to that question.
Oof, yeah.
However, I look to Nick Fury. What mainstream character do you think would have the most success if they were reintroduced as another race? Not in the sense of Green Lantern, Hal Jordan versus Jon Stewart, but rather Green Arrow's Oliver Queen being changed to a Latino or African American. I'm going to recuse myself from this question because I just think it's... I would rather see new characters introduced. I think changing the race or sex of old characters is dumb. And I don't really see the point of it.
Yeah. I think I was talking to him about this in the stores today. We were talking about Secret Avengers and like the...
And I would make Iron Fist Asian.
How they gave Nick Fury gave Nick Fury a black son and took one of his eyes and
I
accidentally called him something really funny, like Black Fury Jr. or something like that. And he's like, that's probably what they should call him.
They should've. But now think about it. They had like the Captain America where they had the was it Truth in the American Way or whatever, where they had like
Yeah, see, that was an interesting story.
Yeah,
though.
I'm thinking about it. And then they've got the alternate universe with Miles Morales. So, like, they've done a couple of variants. And then they've got the Nick Fury Jr.
Well, I think those first two examples are, like, interesting.
Right.
Because, for one, those are both, like, different characters as opposed to just, you know, Miles Morales is a different guy than Peter Parker.
Right. Nick Fury's a different character. Junior.
Yeah.
He changed his name to be like his dad. He didn't know about it. He looks nothing like
him. No, it's his real name. He just had a fake name for a while.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's dumb. But, yeah, so I don't know. I think I would make Superman into a Puerto Rican woman. Well, thanks for the questions, Aaron. And then we have another little set of questions here.
I would just make all the characters Greek.
So
we try that in Morbius. It was not a good choice.
I would make Spider-Man Indian, like in that Indian Spider-Man comic.
Right.
All right. Should we do this next set of questions?
Yep.
Let's do it. All right, this next set of questions from Anakin Skywalker, Anwar Starwind on Twitter. he's sent in some questions before. He says, hey, at Big Planet Comics, which is our Twitter, by the way.
Yeah. Hey.
If you want to follow us, Ashton Kutcher, hashtag That 70 Show, hashtag Punked. question number one.
Hashtag Demi Moore.
Hashtag Demi Moore, hashtag 2.5 men. What are the top five best, worst, and underrated superhero movies of all time? That's three lists, buddy. So that's three questions right there.
It's Twitter, man. You got to save those characters.
Yeah, how
it's a little confusing.
How did you fit this in 140 characters?
It was two tweets.
Oh, was it two tweets? Yeah. Okay, well, the top five best, worst, and underrated superhero movies of all time.
So
best is easy.
Oh, wait. So it's not all three together. I thought it was more of a challenge.
I don't think so, because that doesn't make any sense.
That was a challenge. All right.
Best is pretty easy. What's Superman?
The original Superman.
Yeah. Batman.
With Kevin Smith and...
Yeah, yeah.
I almost said Tim Duncan. Directed by Tim Duncan and the San Antonio Spurs. Yep, Batman with Michael Keaton.
With Michael Keaton and Avengers.
Avengers.
Would be up there. Yeah, that's three.
Let's do top threes because top fives is a lot.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and then it gets a little weird around four and five.
Yeah, that's true.
Do we all agree on that top
sure.
three best?
Yeah,
that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. Yeah, top three worst. I can do this.
There are a lot of easy winners for all those crappy knockoffs just to keep the rights for Marvel.
Yeah, so. let's say the Justice League made for TV movie.
Oh, geez. How about that?
The Fantastic Four unreleased movie.
That's what I was thinking of.
Fantastic Four Roger Corman movie.
And Nick Fury. Nick Fury with Hasselhoff.
Generation X.
And Dark Knight Rises. Is that the name of that movie? The third Batman movie?
Generation X.
The TV movie.
Yeah. I mean, is there a worse one than that? There might be.
There's the Generation X.
Elektra is pretty bad.
Elektra is
Hasselhoff.
Oh yeah, the
Hasselhoff Nick Fury.
Well, that's on my underrated.
All right, we'll save that one for that.
No, not really. Okay, yeah, okay. So, and then what underrated? I think is probably the most interesting.
That's the hardest one, probably.
I think Batman Returns is a really underrated movie. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe it was super popular. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I think some people saw
Superman
that one.
3 is underrated. Richard Pryor is great in it.
I it's a terrible, terrible movie, but it's also underrated because it's also kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Let's do real talk, you guys.
Let's do real talk here.
Like, what are some underrated superhero movies?
Oh boy.
Is there underrated just as people don't know about it or people don't respect them enough? That's
Blade
weird...
2?
Yeah, either. Yeah, I think Blade 2 is a good example.
You call
Blade
it a superhero underrated? One?
Yeah, Blade's a superhero.
Yeah. Not in that universe.
What?
That's more just like
he's got superpowers.
He's got superpowers.
He's a vampire.
He's friends with Ghost Rider, bro.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. There's no Ghost Rider running around the Blade 2 universe.
It's a Marvel movie. Boys.
That's true.
Sticky fingers. Sticky fingers.
Darkman.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He's an underrated superhero. Darkman's a great one.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like a weird little...
Nobody ever talks about Darkman.
Yeah.
No, that's a good choice.
Dick Tracy?
I don't think that counts. Dick Tracy doesn't have any.
He's not friends with Ghost Rider.
It's a comic book thing, but
he's just an opponent of Mumbles.
That's pretty much a superhero. Then.
Yeah.
What about
the Phantom?
No, ooh. That's a terrible.
I really like that one.
What about Super with Rainn Wilson?
The Shadow.
Let's talk about overrated movies instead.
No, what about
all the Christopher Nolan Batman movies? Sure. Kick Ass.
No, I like Kick-Ass. God, I just had a good one. Oh, Blank Man.
No, Blank Man.
That's definitely
is that right. Damon Wayans?
Moving on.
Oh, Meteor Man is underrated.
Meteor Man with
I
wait
I secretly
love Pluto Nash.
I secretly love.
That's a sci-fi movie.
I secretly love Meteor Man.
I don't think that's a secret to anyone.
With Robert Townsend from Hollywood Shuffle.
With Don Cheadle.
Is that the name of that movie, Hollywood Shuffle?
It's got Don Cheadle. It's got Big Daddy Kane.
Move on.
It's got another bad creation.
All right, second question. What is your favorite animated theme song? Swamp Thing. Oh, wait. I was thinking of just like comic book stuff. Swamp Thing.
A theme song that's animated?
I think it's from animated television.
Song
shows.
Is animated?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Animaniacs.
Yeah, it's a good song.
It's a good one.
Oof. Either DuckTales or Tiny Toons.
Freakazoid? Freakazoid's also good.
Those are all good.
Oh, wait, no.
Is Freakazoid the like Midnight Star song? Like, I'll be your Freakazoid.
Yeah.
Gummy Bears is great.
Gummy Bears is really good.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. Tiny Toons is great.
Yeah.
It's good.
That was He-Man is great. What is the He-Man theme song?
There's no actual song.
Does it go like this? All right, so I've got another question. I don't know.
Oh, wait a second. The Batman, the X-Men one. Oh, but that doesn't have any lyrics.
I'm going to skip two of these questions, and then we're going to do number four as three. So favorite video game franchises?
What?
Ooh.
Comic book video game?
No, just video game. People just want to know what we know.
They want to know what makes us tick.
That's the thing, you guys. Like, we'll take questions. Favorite potato chips.
Yeah.
Favorite hairstyles. Don't do that. We've already done that twice.
Favorite punk rock hairstyles.
I'm going to go with Metal Gear Solid. That's a good one.
Ooh.
It's one of my favorites. It's a lot of sneaking in there. Street Fighter.
Yeah, Street Fighter is definitely my favorite.
Mega Man.
Mega Man. You're just saying the ones
Mario.
I like. Mario's a good one. What about you, Jared?
I haven't stuck with enough games long enough to see like the evolution of them. One that consistently impressed me that I wanted to play more of, and I did play more of, was the God of War stuff.
You like Mass Effect a lot?
Oh, all right, never mind Mass Effect. I've only played two.
Sometimes
of them.
I have to answer questions.
The Elder Scrolls franchise.
Yeah, it's good.
But see, I've only played one of those. But man, Skyrim.
I love Zelda.
Zelda
again. There's a lot. I only played a few.
My favorite franchise, though, honestly, is a smaller franchise called Advance Wars. Hmm. It was on the Game Boy Advance and the Nintendo DS. It's a turn-based strategy game, also known as Famicom Wars in Japan, and it's good stuff.
WarioWare as well.
WarioWare is good too.
I love some WarioWare.
There are lots of good video game franchises.
Indeed.
Twisted Metal, but that's at a kind of up and down.
Twisted Metal 2 is a great
Twisted Metal
game,
2 and Twisted Metal Black.
Those are both great
both
games.
Incredible.
The new Twisted Metal game, not very good.
Okay,
well, thanks for the questions, everybody. Yeah. There was another question on here, but I didn't understand it. Why does Dylan spit hot fire?
Who? Which Dylan? Bob Dylan?
If you guys have questions, you can send them to the podcast at bigplanetcomics.com. And like I said, just send us any kind of question you want.
Just hit
you can
us.
Ask us anything. Just
we love hearing from you and talking about
nothing
it.
Nothing too sexual.
Yeah, mildly not sexual.
Mildly sexual is fine. Just don't be weird. It'll be fine.
And call our hotline.
Yeah, if you're brave, leave us a voicemail and we'll hear what you have to say. And
yeah,
reply.
Do you guys know that number?
1-703-539-CAST.
Something cast.
Correct.
Oh, it's burned in my brain.
That is right.
It's really scary. I don't remember like people's phone numbers.
And leave us reviews on iTunes. Just leave them there.
Just leave them.
Yep.
Don't touch them. All right. So you guys want to do some reviews?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yes.
We love comics. They're swell. Except when they're written by Scott Lobdell. I prefer important books like Louis Riel. It's time for reviews. What up?
What up?
All right.
In time this week, we got the new Situation Comics. Somebody asked me for that today.
Really? That's right. Amazing. I didn't know that actually came out. All right. So up first this week, we've got Ariel. This is by Emmanuel Guibert, who has done a bunch of stuff.
Sardine of Outer Space, Alan's War, and The Photographer, and maybe something else.
A bunch of others.
Those are some great ones.
And drawn by Marc Boudavant.
Yeah.
And this is good. It's Ariel, just a donkey like you and me, and it's just about a little kid named Ariel.
Who's a donkey?
Who is a donkey. And it's broken up into what I'd say like 5 or 6 page strips, maybe a little bit longer.
Some are longer,
that.
Yeah. But...
And it's just about him going to school, having
friends,
falling in love with a little girl who's a cow that doesn't like to be called Moo Moo.
Yeah, I feel like he's a middle schooler, it feels like.
About right. And it's just like a great French kids book. I really like this book.
It's really funny and cute.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of it, humor is perfectly fine if everyone wasn't an animal, but then they're all animals, and some of the humor is even crazier because they are.
In a good way or
yeah.
a bad way?
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, but I'm saying, like, it would stay, it'd be fine for a lot of the stories if they didn't do that. It's just, like, really good, well-told stories and other stuff that, like, could only work if these were all crazy animals.
I thought one of the funny things about this is that they're all, like, anthropomorphic characters who are animals, but then they do, like, really animal things. Like, the one character is, like, I gotta go trot, like, because I'm a horse. It's, like...
Yeah, really, and they're all insisting that the horse kid can be, like, a great jumper. So they're always pushing him to be a great, like, high jumper in gym class. And
they're all obsessed with this show called Thunder Horse, which is pretty awesome.
It's like a horse superhero, which they finally go to see the Thunder Horse movie towards the end of the book. And his costume is so ridiculous.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's, you know, that's basically what it is. And I thought it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's very cute. Who's your favorite character in this?
I like Ariel. But that's always me. Well, the main character is always my favorite character.
I always like the buddy. I like Ramono.
Oh, the pig?
Oh, the pig, yeah. He's kind of amazing.
Hilarious he's really funny. And it's really enjoyable. Like, the stuff at school is great. Their teacher is really funny. And I don't know. It's just the whole thing is good.
Yeah, and the art by, Boudavant is really, in some ways, it's a little minimalist. It's very... I don't know, this super cartoony. I don't know how to describe it very well. We'll put samples of it up on our webpage again at bigplanetcomics.com.
Yeah, yeah, so we're going to keep doing that.
Every week, just go on there and you can see a page or two from all the books we're reviewing. But, it really works for this.
Beautiful, funny kids book.
Yeah.
All right, so, up next we've got...
Oh, yeah, and more of those will be coming out soon. That's a series. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I don't know that I realized that. That's good news. All right, up next we got the new Ghostbusters. This is... kind of continuing the stuff that was going on in Ghostbusters before, but
it literally opens with a little thing and it says previously in volume one. However, that's very not necessary to.
Yeah, I wasn't reading that. I read the very beginning of that, but you're able to jump right in. So this is written by Eric Burnham with art by Dan Schoening, and it features a new Ghostbuster team.
So Eric Burnham's been writing this for a while and he's been chronicling the adventures of Ghostbusters and.
So you want to break down the Ghostbusters versus the new Ghostbusters, versus the real Ghostbusters debacle here?
The cool thing about this is that it kind of drops you straight into it. Like, the beginning's like, this is this character, and this is this character, and they're going to be Ghostbusters in a minute, but hold on. And then, like, they show a little bit about what happened to the old Ghostbusters, and then it shoots right into, like, the action of how these Ghostbusters are trying to work at this job, but they're not very good at it, and, like, they don't know how to use, like, the tools properly, and they don't know how to repair them, and that introduces kind of ends up being the main focus of the story, which is, like, they're dealing with, like, the government and them kind of trying to take over the Ghostbusters, which is pretty cool. The interesting thing about this team is that one of the main Ghostbusters is Janine.
Yeah,
there was secretary
Annie Potts from the original, from Designing Women,
and who's
in this comic,
who's drawn amazingly in this. The art in this is great. It's very cartoony, very much like the old Ghostbusters cartoon. A little more angular, but just great.
But yeah, so basically, the Ghostbusters from the movie that you guys all know and love are basically kidnapped by weird, ghostly, zombified versions of themselves and disappeared. So nobody knows what happened to them, and all these people are stepping in to try to, like, fill in the gap and be recruited by your loving friend Peck, whoever, the head of the EPA or whatever.
The guy from
jerk guy.
The guy from Peacock.
There you go.
Yeah, and it was great. I liked it. It was funny and fun, and it seems like he's got a really good grasp on the characters, especially, like, the original Ghostbusters. Like, they're in a few pages here and there, and they sound like you think they would. The things they say sound like what they would say, like, if you were, you know, if they were there was a new movie or something.
Yeah, I was surprised by how enjoyable this was.
Yeah, it was also a nice to kind of turn on the head to have female Ghostbusters, where three or the team would be three girls and one guy. It was a nice switch up, I think. So
it's pretty cool, and I will say that the real Ghostbusters backup in this is terrible.
It's just a throwaway. The art, it's written by the same guy. He also does the art, which is kind of weird.
The weird thing about it is that it's two pages.
It's two pages.
And it's like, it seems like a longer story.
It's going
to
continue.
Yeah, it says to be continued.
Yeah, but it's weird that they're doing two pages at a time.
Yeah, squeeze it in.
But don't let that
dissuade
you. It's a fun Ghostbusters.
And it's actually a good jumping on point. So.
Yeah, cool. And then up next, we've got, we're not very organized this week. We have a book called The Adventures of Superhero Girl. This is by Faith Aaron Hicks. And it is a collection of the webcomic series that she's been doing, which is just about a sort of girl with superpowers.
So this is developed over time, but basically she's basically the anti-superhero in that she just wants to wear like normal clothes and finally, you know, concedes to a domino mask and a cape. But on that, she just wants to be like the cool kind of almost hipsterish superhero and, you know, deal with cats and trees and stuff.
We should say Faith Erin Hicks did Brain Camp. Also did
Friends with Boys,
Bigfoot Boys,
Zombies Calling. She's done a good bit of stuff and she's great.
Yeah. Well,
I was gonna say one of the funny things I read is that she when she was designing the character, she kept calling her Superhero Girl just until because she couldn't think of a cool name, and then eventually she was like, hey, Superhero Girl is perfect.
But yeah, so the things you find out is that like her older brother is a very successful superhero who wears like the tights, and so he very fits the like iconic image, and so is very successful, and she's trying to do her own thing and it's not going very well. So a lot of it though is just like
her and her roommate.
Yeah, like trying to make her own life and like getting mixed up with like her real life and her superhero life and forgetting to take off her mask at time and getting confused. And
she's in Canada, which is funny because there's like no crime.
Yeah.
So she never has anything to do.
Prime Minister gets kidnapped once.
Yeah.
He likes cats.
And it's like a running gag in it. Is it like there's no crime and it's like all the villains there are terrible.
And all superheroes kind of lame too. But
yeah.
And it's all broken down in a single page, kind of like strips, you know. But but it's nice because there's a big sort of overarching storyline. Yeah. There's actually some character progression and stuff. And her art is, I mean, I think probably I don't know if a lot of people have seen her art at this point. But
go to bigplanetcomics.com.
Yeah, there'll be an art sample. But it's really fun. I mean, I think
it's in the same
Brian
way.
Lee O'Malley would probably be the closest.
Say, yeah.
But it's different than that.
It's definitely different.
Yeah, it's got a lot of personality.
But it's really funny, really cute. There's ninjas in it and giant aliens.
King Ninja is one of her nemeses, which I think is my favorite.
There's a hilarious little segment where King Ninja is so trying to get a job. It's really
trying to apply for the job that she was applying for.
He's like, as your enemy, I will take your job. So
he's like,
try to get the same job you're trying to get.
Hire me, I'm wearing a crown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really funny book, definitely worth checking out.
Some really good just like character moments of like going to a party and trying to meet boys and stuff. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Cool. All right, we got three more books to talk about. So first up, what do we want to talk about here? Should we talk about Emerald?
Sure.
What the hell?
Oh, what is that? So we got a special guest. We got Andy Kettler.
What's up?
He's going to join us for these last three things. He works here at the Vienna store with me.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to get up. You got to get
guest.
Up. Get up on that mic, Andy.
All right, I'm up in it.
Yeah. So Emerald is a new collection from Hiroaki Samura, the guy that does Blade of the Immortal and
Oikoshi.
Yeah, which is an awesome book, and I'd say this is pretty similar to Oikoshi, like in that it's a collection of short stories.
Mm-hmm.
But the main story is Emerald,
Emerald?
And it's like a Western thing.
It's a great little short story. What is the basic gist of it is just like, it's really hard to say anything about it without giving away the entire plot. But basically, there's like this bounty hunter woman who's trying to hunt down all these fugitives, but she's going about it in like a sneaky way.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny.
Sort of. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, his art is just like incredible. I think it's some of his best work. At least, I mean, well, the recent Blade of the Immortal stuff's like really solid.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
so that story's really cool. It's cool to see him do Western stuff, and then the backup stories in this are like insane though. This
really depressing.
The second story in here is like, I don't even know if I want to talk about it. It's like so gross. It's like about sadomasochism.
But it looks good.
It does. It looks great.
It's a great looking book.
Yeah. And then there's another thing that's like about two girls in high school, and that story is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Uniforms On, I think.
Yeah.
And it like breaks the fourth wall a lot. It's like a really crazy.
I felt like in comparison to Oikoshi, like Oikoshi was kind of more humorous, I felt like he was sort of tackling different sort of themes in this specific collection, which I think sets it apart. But
yeah, it's a lot darker than Oikoshi.
Yeah, definitely.
Even those like there's a story about like a manga artist and like this girl that he's kind of in love with, but then that turns into a story about Samura and like his like a weird thing about him being an old man and like him writing a fake story about being in love with a high school girl. And it's so strange, but it's really awesome. This is actually like probably my favorite thing that came out this week.
Yeah, same.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, so my problem with this is that it's so all over the place that a lot of the stories just didn't feel as, I don't know, like I feel a lot of them suffered in comparison to how good some of them were, like especially Emerald to start this off, which I think was the strongest thing in this book. Like I felt like his like schoolgirl things, like he even says in the back, he's like, this was supposed to be my like modern commentary take on stuff, and I'm a manga artist who literally doesn't watch TV, doesn't read the newspaper, doesn't follow magazines, and I pick up like something out of the trash once a month. So I didn't really know what to write about after. So it's like, you know, it really for him it was just a fun thing to do. But
yeah, the transitions are probably a little jarring just because
I wouldn't even have minded that. It's just that some of them I just felt like they weren't enough, or he just was like, especially since these were short stories, was just like him goofing or whatever. Especially when you look at like Emerald, which is this intricately plotted like, you know, betrayals and backstabs and twists and stuff, to just have like, oh, I was just goofing off and did a short story.
So I think Samura goofing off though is still like, just like, it looks so good.
Yeah, yeah.
His art is just is too awesome. But
I do agree with Jared. Ultimately, I think like Oikoshi as like a complete work might be a little bit stronger. However, you know, at the same token, like I really think it's just like a fantastic collection as well. Yeah. So I think, you know, if you're going to get one, I mean, Emerald's the only one that's in print right now. Yeah. So maybe that would generate interest for Oikoshi to come back and print, which would be great.
That would be great, because it's really unfortunate that book's out of print, because that's like one of my favorite comics of all time. Yeah. And even though this is not even, it's probably still one of my favorite comic collections of all time. I love it so much.
It's solid.
Yeah. All right, so we got a couple more books. We had two Marvel books that came out this week, two new number ones. And first up, we've got Uncanny X-Men.
Uncanny. I've never heard of that. Is that a new title?
It is. Yeah, the X-Men are they're like mutants.
Oh,
yeah, it's pretty interesting, you guys. Yeah. But this is written by Brian Bendis, who's been writing all new X-Men, and so he's kind of taking over the X-Men line a little bit. And art by Chris Bacalo, who's done.
He did Wolverine and the X-Men.
He did Wolverine and the X-Men. He's done some Spider-Man stuff. He did steampunk.
Yeah,
a long time ago. Yeah. Who wants to tell people what this is about?
This is about the Uncanny X-Men.
That's true.
But it's a weird team of Uncanny X-Men, because this is the team led by Scott Summers, a.k.a. Cyclops, with his Racer X costume.
Yeah.
And it's mostly a team of villains. It's Emma Frost, Magic, and Magneto, and two new people who were actually introduced in All New X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's basically the weird thing about this is like I didn't quite like it. Like I liked it, but I didn't like it as much as All New X-Men. I felt like there's like a framing device that's like somebody being interrogated, and he's just kind of telling the story of what happened, which is cool. But I feel like you don't get a lot of you don't really know a lot about the characters. Like I don't think Emma Frost even has a line in this.
She has like one.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like an offhanded comment about her like relationship with Scott Summers.
Yeah, it's so weird. It seems like it's a lot more focused on kind of like this interview that's happening.
Well, and then that's like presented as like a mystery, but I feel like in the first page, like you know exactly.
You obviously know.
Yeah.
It's got like a Professor X makeover, by the way.
Yeah, but I still thought that it was an interesting little twist at the end, and I think it's going to be pretty interesting going forward, like to see where it takes it.
One thing I was disappointed about, I mean, I love this issue. I thought it was fantastic, and I think Chris Bacalo's artwork hasn't looked better.
Yeah, it's great.
It looks really good. I was hoping that the two new characters in the team would get a little bit more FaceTime. Like they hardly say anything, and there's just like sort of, you know, passing comments about these are their powers and they're pretty cool people. And I was like, I want to like them. They sound like cool people, but like
it's kind of like what I was saying. Yeah, like there's no, you don't get a good understanding of the team and their dynamics, because it's just kind of like here's a fight they were in and here's more interview, whatever.
And for what should be like a big book, and I actually really liked this book, but it does feel like a little bit of like a side story.
Yeah,
as opposed to like it feels like an aside of like the main story. That's
it's like
on
one of the things that was happening, you know,
or maybe just like a prologue. Maybe I'm gonna give it like the benefit of the doubt and say
I think as it goes along, like this stuff will be seen a little less in All New X-Men, and they'll kind of differentiate each other a little better.
What'd you think, Jared?
That was okay.
All right.
Well, no, I liked it.
What do you think about the costume designs?
I think Magneto looks cool. I heard some people complaining, but I think he looks cool.
I think
he
looks awesome, too. The thing that threw me is I didn't recognize that was Emma.
Yeah, Frost. I didn't realize.
She looks so much younger in this.
Until they're like, Emma Frost. But, yeah, I think Magneto's helmet
Magneto
is a little weird.
Awesome.
He looks pretty
like
awesome, but I feel like it's really hard to look out of that helmet.
Well, I think you could say the same as for Cyclops.
I was about to say the same thing about Cyclops. But he's impractical.
He looks exactly like Matthew Fox in the Speed Racer movie.
Yeah. But it also, I guess it's supposed to kind of exemplify his, like, movement or whatever. His X-Men movement.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, they're kind of like the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
They kind of feel like the Brotherhood.
But they have their own school, too, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
So,
two X-Men schools. Yeah. Which one would you guys want to go to?
Definitely Wolverine's
school. Yeah, because Wolverine's cool and Cyclops is dumb.
Plus, Wolverine's seems more laid back.
Yeah.
Oddly enough.
All right, so just one more book this week. This is Secret Avengers number one.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is this like the third Secret Avengers number one?
No, it's the second.
Is it the second one? Yeah, this is introducing kind of a new team, but also sort of kind of some of the people that were already on Secret Avengers. But this is written by Nick Spencer, who is Morning Glories, maybe is the thing he's most known for.
Definitely.
And art by Luke Ross, who I actually think is really good, but I don't know what else he's done.
He's done stuff.
That's good to know that he's done stuff. Who wants to... Andy, do you want to try to tell people what Secret Avengers is about?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's like a.
That's a lot of pressure. I mean, if you're not feeling up to it.
Oh man, I'm sweating so hard. No, it's like a pretty decent like beginning to sort of this, you know, espionage superhero team, and you know you're introduced with you know like Hawkeye, you know being in a tight spot, and you know of course he gets you know.
Yeah, I think the cool thing about this is that. Well, I mean, at the beginning it builds off a little bit off the previous stuff, cause then, but it focuses more on S.H.I.E.L.D. and they're like, oh, we liked your team before. We want to kind of put together a similar team, but we want some deniability, so we're going to erase your memories of everything that happens here.
And it's weird because the big thing that this kind of... So they're bringing in... The main two characters, I'd say, are Hawkeye and Black Widow, and they're bringing them into this team, and... The thing that they do to bring them in is like they tell them this secret, but then the secret is redacted on the page.
That's pretty funny.
Like,
yeah.
Like, so no, like we don't actually know quite what's going on.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. There was a lot of little like mysteries kind of seeded throughout this, and that was one of the funniest ones just because it was like straight out of a like what you would see in like a CIA like document.
Oh, yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like it's like redacted, but yeah, I thought it had some interesting twists and turns, and I like that it was very much like a spy book. It had like interesting elements that you wouldn't see in a non-Marvel universe book. It did a good job of combining the two. Like there's a scene where somebody's tortured and they're like, let's bring in a psychic now. And that didn't work. And they're like, let's bring in this alien being.
Yeah. Let's stick like a baby Cthulhu in his mouth. And see what happens.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah. It's something that could only happen in like a Marvel universe. But I will say it's really funny that Agent Coulson is in this a lot and then he's drawn exactly like Greg Clark.
Yeah. He looks exactly like him.
Maybe a little bit more of a chiseled jaw.
Yeah, they gave him a little more hair, a little more of a chiseled jaw.
And Nick Fury Jr. is in this, the aforementioned Nick Fury.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. The guy who is Nick Fury's illegitimate son, who was called Marcus Fury, but now is called Nick Fury and looks exactly like Samuel Jackson.
Yeah.
And they kind of address that in this.
Yeah, there's a really funny scene where like Hawkeye's like, I thought that Nick Fury was a like white guy.
And they're like, just deal with it. Like, just go with it. It's comics, you guys. Like, just go.
Yeah, there's a pretty funny line where he's like, yeah, he's Nick Fury now. Just deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is pretty funny.
Well,
it was great, though.
Yeah. And Luke Ross's art is really cool.
It's really good. Yeah.
I like a lot of the newer Marvel people they're getting, and it's like a little more cartoony, but
just great,
you know, kind of like the stuff they've been doing in Daredevil.
Yeah. Coloring in these books too is just
In both of these books, actually, like I think part of the reason Chris Bachalo's art looks so great in Uncanny X-Men is because the coloring is
he colored it himself.
Did he color it himself?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's cool. And then the coloring in Secret Avengers is awesome. Reminds me a little bit of the coloring in, say, like Daredevil or Hawkeye a little bit.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I'm interested to see where this book goes because so far it's just Black Widow and Hawkeye, but I know that eventually like Winter Soldier is going to be in it, Hulk is going to be in it,
well,
and
that's right.
Iron Patriot, which
what?
I think is a kind of their thing to kind of tie in some of the movie stuff, because I'm sure it'll be like War Machine in an Iron Patriot armor. Cool. But there's a really cool twist in this, and I like that S.H.I.E.L.D.'s really gray in this. Like, they're not, like, they're usually in Marvel Comics, they're like the gung-ho good guys are here to save everybody, but there's a lot of shadiness.
Yeah, they're being super shady.
Yeah. It's great.
Cool. Well, that's it for books this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jared and Andy had to share a microphone, so that's why Jared hasn't been talking very much. But yeah, I want to thank Andy for showing up in the last 10 minutes here.
Hey, buddy,
woohoo!
Bringing the fire. And yeah, what do we need to tell people? Give us reviews on iTunes, and we'll see you guys next time. Later.
Take care.